Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I'm PJ2, Pastor John number two, also known as the Elder. Pastor Steve calls me Pastor John Squared. And I've been known by many other names, so Happy New Year, church. You know, I trust that you all had a great Christmas and good holidays. I was blessed to have my first and only grandchild right now come and visit us from Missouri. And they were up here for a few weeks, and that was a real blessing. And my wife had this great idea to take our grandchild to see Santa Claus for the first time, since he's only, today he's 10 months old. So we took him to see Santa Claus, and it didn't work out exactly the way we thought. Now I just got through talking about fear and worry and panic. This kid was traumatized. So, and he's a kid that doesn't cry. So, bad news. But the good news is he is the brightest kid, the brightest grandchild that anyone has ever had. And I'm sorry, guys. He is the bright. In fact, in the 10 months, he's already potty trained. Can you say? Now, my wife swore to me, or told me that you have to tell them that that is a new toilet. We're in the process of putting together a new bathroom, and that picture was staged before we installed the toilet. Before we get started in the Word tonight, I just wanted to encourage you in a particular area. I happen to be the pastor that oversees our discipleship, our connection groups here at the church. And we have several classes starting here very soon. One actually starting here in January 13th. It's called Myths of Eating Healthy. And it's going to take place here in the cafe. And I encourage you to sign up for that. You know, most people that sort of reject, you know, some of the teachings on eating healthy, they think it's too expensive, it's a lot of trouble to make, and it doesn't taste very good. Well, that's the myth we're trying to overcome. And we've got Frank Candrella that's going to be doing that class, and he's a certified nutritionist, and I think you'll enjoy that class. We have Principles of Prayer coming up. Pastor Chris is going to be teaching that class starting February the 9th. It's a Saturday night, and it's going to be a little unique and different because he's going to be starting at 5 o'clock, an hour before church starts. So he'll teach that class for an hour, and he'll get you out in time in order to come to the Saturday night service if you're one that comes on Saturday night. Another class called Whip for Women Only. It was also on February 9th. And employing your passion. We used to be known as a job seeker workshop. Employing your passion. This is for people that right now that may be unemployed, have lost your job, or for those of you that maybe have a job now, but you're just not, you don't like it. You know, you want something else. You want to work in the area where your passion is. So I encourage you to take advantage of those classes. And also in March and April, we're doing some other classes, Grace for Power to Change, which I teach. Biblical Path of Prosperity, which Pastor Paul will be teaching. Understand the Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, I'll be teaching that class. And there's more. So please check online or at the Media Event Center for those classes. And please sign up. If you'll turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll get into the Word tonight. I debated quite a while on what to title this message. I could have titled it different things, but I guess I'm choosing to call it Responding to Life's Circumstances. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Before I came on staff here at the church, I worked in a secular job. It happened to be PPG Industries, if any of you are familiar with that company. And my particular position that I held, I traveled quite a bit. In fact, it was 50% plus of the time I traveled, not only domestically, but also South America, Asia, Europe. So I did quite a bit of traveling, and certainly that gets old after a period of time. But on occasion, I was able to take my wife, Kathy, with me, and we would plan some vacation time on those trips so we could do a little sightseeing. And I think it was right around one of our anniversaries, 10 years ago, I took her to Europe, and we had plans to stop in London and Paris and do all the touristy type of things. Well, while we were in London, we were traveling around looking at the different sites, and we were using to a large extent what their subway system, which they call there the tube. And we had just arrived in a location. We got off the subway or the tube, and we were walking on the subway platform, which was quite crowded. And we were trying to exit. You know, I was in my touristy shirt, and I had my camera around my neck like a good tourist should have. And as we were walking out toward the stairway, I noticed several young people, maybe in the 20s. There was one particular young person who was probably 12 or 14 years old walking in front of them. And I noticed that this one man made contact with me, my eyes. And he started staring at me, and he was walking toward me. Of course, we were walking on the way out, so eventually we were going to go past one another. Well, as we got close to them, this guy started cursing at me, shouting four-letter words that I haven't even heard. And about 15, 20 seconds into this rant, he violently shoves me. Now, here I am in London. I'm in a foreign country, and this happens. Now, I'm from West Virginia, guys. I was chewing tobacco in the 8th grade. I was used to getting a bruise or two when I was growing up. And so as a guy, you know, my first reaction, my first thought was, let's pop this guy. But my wife had a little bit better sense. She says, let's get out of here. And here I am. I'm thinking, I'm in a foreign country. You know, I can't get thrown in jail over here. What's going on? Well, we eventually got out of the situation, and reflecting back on it, we found out what happened. What it was, over there, especially in the subway area, they warn you, they have signs all over the place telling you, beware of pickpocketers. And so this guy came to me. You notice that his friends sort of disseminated throughout the crowd whenever he come and started picking on me. And it was a diversion in order for the pickpocketing to take place. Deception. Now, another time I was in Europe, I was in the Netherlands, and I flew into Amsterdam, and there was a train station right there at the airport. And I needed to go to a place called Hoogezong, which is about a 2 to 3 hour train ride from the airport. And on the way, there might have been 4 or 5 stops. And so I was on the train traveling, minding my own business. And we stopped in one location. It was, a crowded train station. And a couple young men came in. And as they passed me, he supposedly dropped a whole handful of coins all over the place. Well, instinctively, I like to help people. And so instinctively, I tried to go down and just start picking these coins up to help him. And right before I did, there was this lady that was sitting across the aisle from me. She says, don't do that. In broken English, she was from the Netherlands. She says, don't do that. I said, why not? She says, it's a big ploy. Because what they would do, they would drop, and as you're busy helping them, another one of his friends would steal your bag or bags, make it off the train real quick, and then get lost in the crowd in the train station. Well, again, deception. I was very thankful that she told me, because my computer bag would have probably been missing. And see, our life, when we go through life, circumstances come our way that are meant to be deceptive, that are meant to get our attention, our focus, especially as a Christian, our focus off of the Word and get our eyes on the circumstances of life. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We live in a fallen world, and we as Christians need to expect circumstances like this to come in. I think of Psalms 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many of the problems, the trials, the issues that come into our life. Those trials and issues might be sickness, it might be relationship problems, marriages that are going south. It might be financial issues. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But then that scripture goes on to say, but the Lord will deliver you out of them all. How many will He deliver you out of?
All.
Well, who's the Lord? The Word says the Lord is Jesus. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the Word. And it's going to be the Word that delivers us out of each and every circumstance that comes our way. Jesus said this in Luke 10:19. He said, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, everyone say nothing,
nothing,
by any means shall hurt you. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Well, gee whiz, Pastor John, I've been hurt. I've gone through some things that have changed my life, that have made differences in my life. I will also bet you that we weren't totally grounded in what the Word says. Listen to this. It is not the things that come against you in this life that hurt you. It is always our response to those things that come into our life that hurt us. I want to say it again. It's not the things that come into your life that's going to hurt you. It will always be our response to those things which come into our life that hurt us. See, we have two ways to go. We can respond according to what the Word says, or we can respond the way the world, our natural thinking, natural reasoning. The key in our response to these situations, these circumstances in life, is knowing what the Word says about our situation, and not just knowing it, but doing it. How many are believers in here? I've got a lot of hands up. Well, believing is not just mentally agreeing with what the Word says. Did you know that? To be a believer, you must live in accordance with what the Word says. We have to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. It is the only way the Word works in our life. So if we think we're in faith because we are in agreement with what the Word says, guess what? You may be in trouble. The importance is to build an intimate relationship with our Father. An intimacy that's so close that you know what His Word says about you and that you automatically respond and react to that Word. You might say, well, Pastor John, why does God cause these circumstances to come into my life? Why does He allow them to happen? Well, the answer is He doesn't. God has nothing to do with them. And James 1:13 says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. God does not bring any negative circumstances into His life, but He will use those circumstances in our life to help build us up spiritually if we allow Him. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. James says it this way, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, issues, problems. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith works patience. And it goes on to say, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. So are we in joy because we're going through these circumstances, these trials, which we don't want? Certainly not. The joy is knowing that God has an answer for us. And when we respond the way He tells us to respond, we'll come out of it each and every time. Victory each and every time. His Word cannot fail. It is impossible for His Word to fail. We can walk in faith in this life by concentrating on three primary areas. By thinking in line with what the Word says, by speaking in line with what the Word says, and by doing what the Word tells us to do. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the situation, the circumstances look like. It doesn't matter. All that matters is you're doing what the Word told you to do. A lot of people get upset. They get upset because things don't happen real quickly. Galatians 6:9 tells us that do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season or due time, you will reap if you faint not. It may take some time. In our culture, we're sort of in this express culture, Western culture. We expect everything pretty quickly, don't we? You go through a drive-through restaurant. How soon do you want your food? Pretty quickly, huh? You turn on the TV and you watch a half-hour TV show, maybe 60 minutes. But in that time, you go from rags to riches. You go from not having the girl to getting the girl. Everything is done very quickly. And so our expectations are that things are going to happen pretty quickly. But the things of God tell us differently. The Word is associated with, like, farming, sowing seeds. You sow seeds, there's a period of time in between, and you reap a harvest. So there's some patience that needs to take place. So you sow that Word in your heart. Proverbs says it like this. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Goes on to say that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of your life. So our responsibility as a Christian is to grow spiritually. We need to attend to His Word. Now, like a good farmer, when the Word is planted, and heart is the ground or the soil, when that Word is planted, that time period, now if anybody ever planted something, okay, if you have, did you go out the next day and reap your harvest? It hasn't even come out of the ground yet, has it? So what do you do between the time you plant the seed, in this case the Word of God, and the time where you reap the harvest, where you're walking in the things of God? Well, we've got to do a little watering, a little weeding, got to add some fertilizer. All that time is we're meditating on the Word. Joshua tells us this in Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe. Focus in on, observe to do, everyone say to do, according to all that's written therein, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll make your way successful. So when I plant the Word in my heart, I need to take it from that seed, and I need to let it grow until it becomes fully mature, and at that point in time, we're walking in the things of God. Have you found 2 Corinthians 4 yet? That was my introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction," I should have that up there, yeah. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary," or subject to change, they're temporal. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." So here it is. The things that we see are temporal. They're subject to change. Over here, see, we're a triune being. We are a spirit person. We live in this physical body, and we possess this thing called a soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. With our physical bodies, we live over here in this, let's call this the physical world over here. We live in this physical world. This is where we live. This is where we function. This is where the circumstances come our way. Sometimes sickness, sometimes illness, sometimes disease, sometimes financial problems, marriage, divorce, relationships. All kinds of issues can come our way. This is where we are at. And our physical body is here. Let's call this eternal. Over here is eternity. And in eternity, there exists our total redemption. Everything that Jesus died for. Our peace. Our health. Our relationships. Our victories. He bought it and paid for it all, and it exists here. The question in a Christian's mind is, how come I can't get it from here, over here in eternity where God lives? Because, see, my spirit man is contacted here. So this is where my spirit man wants to be. So my spirit man resides in eternity, or is appropriating the things that eternity has for me. And the whole idea is to get them over here. So many times, even good Christians, good people, bad stuff happens to them. And they get focused on their circumstances in life. And they make decisions, and they say things that are contrary to the Word. And it hurts them. They may pray. They may even speak a scripture. But yet, what they want is way over there. And I can't get it out of eternity, and I can't get it to change. And frustration comes in. That's when you know it's one of the biggest causes of depression. Because there's so many things we want as a Christian, the things we expect, but sometimes we just can't reach them. So here we are. This is where we live. This is eternity. And right here in between is this soul. Now the Word tells us to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save the soul. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Well, gee, Pastor John, I thought we were saved. You are. You're a spirit being, though. And your soul has to be renewed. It has to grow. Go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to have to skip a slide or two here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Starting with verse 4, we'll say, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, when we decide to do God's Word, we're operating in obedience. The enemy in the circumstances is trying to get your focus on the circumstances. He is feeding you thoughts. That's his only avenue of attack, is your mind. Anybody ever read Battlefield of the Mind? It's a great book if you haven't read it. It's the only means of attack in your life. And so, he comes at you with all these different thoughts. Now, we have a decision to make. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it's not natural, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So here we are. Thoughts are coming our way. The enemy's bombarding us. And here we take the Word of God. This is what the Word says about us. This is what the enemy is telling me. Does it line up? Or is this thing the enemy's telling me exalting itself above what I know about God? If it is, the Word tells me that I need to bring into captivity. I need to cast it down. I only do what the Word tells me to do. That's responding to life circumstances. Because, see, in our natural minds, it might make sense to do some of these things He's telling you. And if you give in to it, guess what? You're going to get hurt. But if you stay true, if you stay focused on what the Word says, you'll always come out on the other end victorious. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll start with verse 1. It starts out this way. It says, I beseech you, brethren. Now that word beseech is important. If you study it out, it means an urgent appeal. So Paul's talking here and he's saying, I beseech you, brethren. Hey guys, this is really important. Focus in on what I'm about to tell you because it will make a change in your life. It is critical to your spiritual growth that you pay attention to this. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now let's stop right there for a second. It says, this important thing is, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is something that you kill. Certainly we're living. Okay? But there are certain things we have to kill in our life. I don't know about you, but I'm a big NCIS fan. I like Law and Order. In fact, I can watch the reruns for the fourth or fifth time and still expect something else to happen. I love it. But see, this physical body wants to do things that our spirit man doesn't want to do. Because our spirit man wants to establish that relationship with our Father. And sometimes we have to kill some things in our life in order to get the Word on the inside of us, to get it established in our life. And sometimes it may mean turning the TV off for a while. Or maybe instead of playing the fifth round of golf that week, you stay home and spend some time with God. He loves us so much. I have two daughters. Both married. Both great citizens. Both Christian, dedicated to God. I love them with every breath that I take. I would lay down my life in a nanosecond for them. What we as Christians sometimes don't realize is that we have a Father, our Father God, who loves us exceedingly abundantly above all that we as human can love our children. He wants the same good for you. He don't want you going through these circumstances. And I can just see him now upset because we weren't able to take his word and apply it in our life in these areas that's hurting us. We need to get to know him. The only way we can do that is get the word on the inside of us, spending time with him. See, our response to life circumstances has to be, it has to come from here, our spirit man. We need to be established in what the word says for our life. So we offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God. Holy simply means making God's ways our ways. If God says give, you give. If God says forgive, you forgive. Whatever God says, we make His way and we incorporate that into our life. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everyone say renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it says do not be conformed to this world. The fact is that in our decision making, we can use human reasoning, okay, based upon how the world does things. You know, it was interesting this morning. I made a comment to Kathy this morning. She was watching, Good Morning America? You watch? Is that ABC? It's ABC. And they had a little spot there. They have a weatherman. And I guess their weatherman is a gay man. And he got married to another gay man. And they had their pictures and of their wedding and everything. And they were going on and on about how wonderful it was that he found him a mate. And you know Pastor John's heart. You know, if you go here, we love get people that are gay, homosexuals. We want them here. We want to minister to their needs. We want to help them. But over a period of time, the world is conform. It helps conform us. You know, it's like the example. You've heard the example of the frog in water. You try to throw a frog in hot water, it's not going to try to stay there, is it? But if you heat that water up slowly, that frog will stay in the water and just boil to death. Well, that's like our society. Over time, things have been introduced in our society. And if we're not careful, you can get caught up and we can get conformed. We can, well, that's just the way it is. But that's not the way it is in God's ways. It's not that way at all. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that perfect, acceptable will of God. Our mind is the gateway. It's the portal. It's the access. It is the only route that we can draw from the eternal and bring it into our physical realm. Now, if the gifts of the Spirit manifest, that's another way. But a far majority of the time, the only way that you're going to walk in the blessings of God that He paid for, that is in the eternal realm, the things that are not seen, and bring it over here into the physical realm, is through this thing called the soul, by the renewing of your mind. And when we don't spend time with our Father, when we don't establish that relationship, we can go without. We can walk in lack. We can still stumble over some of the sins, the hidden sins, the secret sins that we have, some of the things we think that we don't want to think anymore, some of the things that we do maybe that are habits we can't get rid of because we haven't got His Word established in our life to make the change. And so it's so critical to renew this mind. And the only way you're going to do it is to study. Scripture after Scripture after Scripture in the Word tells us that it's work. Somebody said, well, over in Ephesians it says, by grace you are saved through faith. that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's right. But there's a God side and a man side. Every promise of God is conditional. And that condition is that we have the Word on the inside of us, established on the inside of us. The only way to do that is do things like 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Things like in Hebrews, labor to enter into his rest. Or Joshua, which I think I quoted, don't let this word depart from your mouth, but keep it, draw upon it. I think I thoroughly messed my notes up. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 14. It says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Everyone say strong spirit. The strong spirit of a man sustains him, supports him, uplifts him, keeps him whole in times of bodily pain, I mean sickness, disease, or while you're in trouble. Okay, what's trouble? You can define that as many things, can't you? So, it says, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up rebellion. So the key to our lives in changing these circumstances over here is building up our faith, strengthening our spirit, establishing our heart in the things of God. And to do that, we need to get into the Word, to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only. There's a quote, and I think I use it almost whenever I teach you. I love it so much because it is so scriptural. And it says, and it goes something like this. It says, sow a thought and reap words. Now, the Word tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so does he become. So we want to take godly thoughts. We want to take Scripture, His Word, and think upon them, dwell upon them, meditate upon His Word. So you sow a thought, a godly thought, you reap words. Because the Word also tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So sow a thought, reap words. Continue to sow the Word of God, the words in your life, speak the Word, and you reap action. See, whatever you think on and you speak on, you are always automatically doing at some point in time. So sow a thought, reap words. Sow words, reap actions. Continue to sow the actions in your life, and you'll reap habits. Doing the things of God will become sort of involuntary, sort of like breathing. Something occurs in your life and you automatically respond the way God would respond. Sow habits and reap character. Well, whose character? God's character. See, when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life and recreated your spirit man. And He brought with Him God's character. We refer to it as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. Against such there is no law. All that dwells in you. Did you know that? And God tells us to grow that fruit. It's His character. So when we're doing godly things, we establish godly habits. Guess what? We're going to establish godly character. And when you establish godly character, people will see that. You'll draw people. They'll see that what you have in your life, and they'll want what you have. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself walking in the calling for your life. Because the next, when you sow again, you sow His godly character day by day by day. Guess what you reap? Your destiny, your purpose. I've been asked so many times, John, how do I find my purpose? Just grow in God. He's smart enough to direct you. He's smart enough to open the doors and get you where you need to be. To let you talk to the right people. You know, that's why we harp so much here. That's why we're always pitching the classes that we do, connection groups. God is so important, guys. I just wish that I could hit the hot button in every one of your hearts about growing in the things of God. There's classes out there in every subject, every topic. We want you to grow and mature. We want you to use the talents and the skills that God's given you. Part of that serving is so important. Then the next time you find yourself in a circumstance in your life, you know what to do. You know how to react. God said this. I know the thoughts say, okay, you're going under, but no, God says, I'm going over. He's my Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner, my victory. Now, we're running out of time. A couple examples. Over in, let's go to, back up. Let's go to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. We'll start with verse 5. This is an example of some circumstances Jonah found himself in. And the context behind this story is that God went to Jonah and told Jonah to go to Nineveh and talk to the people of Nineveh about their sin. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. He wanted nothing to do with them. And so he rebelled against God. And instead of going to Nineveh like he was told to by God, guess where he went? He gets on board a ship to go to Tarshish. And while he was at sea, the storm raged. And he told the people though in the ship, he says, you know, if you want the storm to stop, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And so they did. The word tells us that God prepared a fish that swallowed Jonah. We'll pick it up there in verse 5. It says, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols or lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. These lying vanities are life circumstances. See, I can get into life circumstances where things are going very, very wrong. And if I focus in on what's happening to me, I'm going to go without mercy. I'm going to suffer the consequences. Look at Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a fish. Had to be dark. Had to be wet. Probably a little stinky. Grass or what do they call seaweed wrapped around his head. How would you like that for a circumstance, a predicament? Yet Jonah said this. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. In other words, he repented. And he chose not to observe his circumstances. And he submitted his life to God. And as a result, he was delivered. They spit him out. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I was in that fish. Actually, this morning, I felt like I was inside that fish. It's also all kinds of things going on in my life. But the Word delivered me. I just got in front of my Father. Spoke in my heavenly language for a while and let Him deliver me. One more example, then we'll close it up. Go over to let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Starting with verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Everyone, do not be afraid. Say it.
Do not be afraid.
And Peter answered him and said, "And Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water." And he said, "Come." And then Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was, what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" Notice what happens. The Word of God is out there. Peter was focused on the Word. He gets out of the boat. He's actually doing it. He's walking on the water. But then what did he do? He got his eyes where? On the circumstances. The water, the wind, had to be dark. Fourth watch of the night is somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And so here he was, but then when he turned his attention from the living Word over to his circumstances, he immediately, the Word says, began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." That's why fear is so deadly in our lives. Look how quickly he began to sink, walking in total faith with his eyes focused on the Word. And then he veered his attention away to his circumstances. That's why we cannot allow the circumstance. You know, every time he says the trying of your faith works patience, or the testing of your faith. I don't know how many of you have lifted weights before, but if you lifted weights, you know that over time you do it consistently, you build strength. You're able to lift more over time. You get stronger. You get more defined. Well, what we're doing whenever we use God's Word to overcome these life circumstances, we're building our spiritual muscle. If we fail the test, that just simply means when it comes around again, we'll have another opportunity. But in the meantime, we've suffered some loss. It's imperative, critical for a Christian to get established in the things of God, in the Word of God. Psalms 119 says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path." See, the Word will show you where you're at now. It's a lamp to my feet. I'm looking at my feet now and I'm here. But maybe here is not where I want to be. Maybe my life circumstances is just not all, no, it's not good. And I want to change. But it is also a light into my path. And it will show me directly where I need to go to make things better in my life. Time to grow up, church. To establish that relationship. I minister, many times I minister to a lot of people, and many fine Christians, that they take the things we, the spiritual guides we give them, and they run with it, and their lives are changed. But then there's some, they don't take your guidance. If they would do those things, their life would change. They're wanting someone to spoon-feed them. They're not wanting to do it themselves. They're like little children. Sort of like Peter Pan. Never grow up, never grow up, never grow up. I sing that good guy. I'm not Pastor Chris, am I? I'll close with this. Proverbs 4. "Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you." Wisdom is the spiritual thing, or the principal thing. Wisdom is knowing how to apply God's Word to your life. "Therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place your head on an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Over in Deuteronomy, God gave people a pop quiz. He says, I set before you this day life and death, blessing, cursing. And then he gave the answer to that quiz. He says, choose life. Choose blessing. When I was teaching at VBI, one of the classes I had, I gave them a pop quiz as well. And it was something like this. It says, in order to be a doer of the word, to respond the way we need to in life circumstances, we need to A, go to Dick's Sporting Goods, buy a pair of Nikes, and just do it. Or B, go rent the movie The Waterboy and watch the part where Trainee says to Bobby Boucher, you can do it all night long. Or C, both A and B, or D, it is God in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I thank you so much for your love and mercy. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your word. I thank you that each and every individual here, Father, has your character. I thank you, Father, that what they heard tonight will make a difference to many because they'll apply that word to their lives. And then when life circumstances come around, they'll respond the godly way, what your word tells them to do. I asked a while ago how many in here were believers, and I saw many hands. But there may very well have been some that didn't raise that hand, or some which said, gee whiz, I really don't think I've ever given my life to Christ. I want to give you that opportunity now. God loves you so much. He wants your heart. He wants to become a part of you. He wants to use you for His kingdom. He loves you so much. Right now, I'm going to ask if anyone in this room has never given their lives to Christ, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Ask yourself the question, if I would die tonight, where would I go? And if there's something on the inside dealing with you, convicting you, that no, I haven't given my life to Christ yet, would you raise your hand for me? Would you raise your hand if you haven't given? Yes, I see it. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Would there be anyone else that haven't given their life to Christ? He will see us through them all. Every life circumstance, every problem, every trial, He will see us through them all, His word. Would there be anyone else? Just one more second. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer right now. Just repeat after me. Say it out loud to where you hear it with your own ears. You say, Heavenly Father, you said that if I would confess Jesus with my mouth as Lord, that I would be saved. Jesus, you're my Lord. I love you. I choose to walk with you all the days of my life. I choose to be a doer of the word. And I choose to be obedient in everything you tell me to do. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for making me a new creation. I am born again. I'm alive to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thanks, Spencer.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.